Michael is a dear brother, dear brother. And we rarely get to hear from him, so I'm putting him on the spot right now to come up here and say something sweet to you. Mike.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. I want to start with I want to say thank you for every one of you, especially all the brothers and sisters that came yesterday and helped us to load the truck, actually trucks, two trucks. But I want to say thank you to all of you because we're family, and every one of you impacted our lives, and I think that we impacted your lives as well because we're workers in God's ministry. Whatever we do, whatever we go, whatever we say is for His glory. The moment we give our hearts to the Lord, He works through us. He lives in us. I don't know how many of you know how everything started. I just want to tell you really quick that when Pastor Lenny came 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago to Dallas and visit us, that was the time when we sowed and we felt that opportunity and that big blessing that the Lord was preparing for our family. I don't know if you remember, we had a prayer meeting one of the evenings when you were there. And a lady from a church there, she kind of prophesied and she said several things. And she said, Pastor Lenny, I do have from the Lord that you're a bridge builder. You're one that the Lord is using to do and make things happen. And it really happened. And it really happened. The Lord was using Pastor Lenny and the church here to bring us to the East Coast. Because we never, living in Texas, everybody is Christian over there. I mean, everybody's going to church. And and we wanted to minister to people that they do not know about Christ. We wanted to share our passion. We wanted to share our Christ. We wanted to share anything that we know with people that do not know Christ. And we're right here in Maryland. And I do work with people around, and I live with people around in our subdivision that they don't go to church. Sunday morning, they cut their grass. They rest, and they don't care if there is a God, or they care more how they're going to pay their taxes, but they don't care if there is a God. And we were so thankful to the Lord, to you, Pastor Lenny, that you invested in us. This is a great investment for our family in Jesus' name, in the Lord's name, that you made this possible for us to come here, to minister with you, to impact the community, and then to send us to impact another community. I think that investment is worth a lot. It's worth more than gold and money. And if you remember what Jesus was saying, just invest and build treasure where nobody can steal it. Build a treasure in heaven. And we are building this treasure together because when we impact somebody for Christ, this is one more soul saved. And this is all about. I just wanted to tell you two other things that I learned in the last 4 years being here. That when Jesus said, I will build my church, He didn't meant the building or denomination. He meant all of us together as a body of Christ, as somebody that people that are gathering together in Jesus' name. And he's doing this even in the hardest times. And I want to tell you that we're representing Christ today to the world. If somebody wants to touch God or to know about God, he will know it through you, through me. And if we don't represent the Lord in the best way, we're not good servants to Christ. So I want to challenge you, you know, all those challenges are going around on Facebook, whatever silly thing it is. But I want to challenge you for next year, befriend somebody that is not saved. And not befriend them not to share the gospel only with them, but to share your life. Be a friend to somebody that does not know Christ so you can make impact. Befriend a person or a family and pray for them. So in the year time, one more soul or one more family to know Christ. And when I'm working, you know, on base and see people with their problems and things that are happening in their lives, I always pray, Lord, give me words of wisdom. Give me a passionate heart to know what to say. I don't want to go and tell them, do you know Jesus or Jesus loves you? It does not mean anything if you don't spend your life with them. It's better not to share the gospel with somebody that you don't want to share the meal with. So just make effort in the next year to bring somebody else to Christ. It is worth it. And also, I want to tell you that Jesus needs to be in our lives in everything that we do. And when we share the gospel, just the Lord said, be witnesses for me, not lawyers. Yeah, witness is somebody that will come and say, this is what the Lord did in my life. I mean, don't start explaining the Bible from Genesis and go through the Old Testament. Then nobody will need that. And people will just find things not to believe if you go through all the spiel. But if people around you see that you're living for Christ, that you are fire for the Lord, they will see that there is something genuine in you. And they will know and they will say, I want more of what you have. And this is my challenge to me and to you, that we need to impact the world for Christ. And we need to share the gospel with everybody that we can. So one day, when we in front of the Lord, he will say, come, good and faithful servant. So this is what is in my heart, and this is what I wanted to share with you. Amen.
Svetlana and I, some of you know, met during our doctoral classes together. And when it became clear the Holy Spirit was building a relationship of substance between us, I said, I need to meet your husband. And so I flew down to Dallas and spent 4 or 5 days with him. And the morning I was leaving, she confessed to me that they had sat in their bedroom, and Michael asked, is this guy for real? No American's ever taken an interest in us. But we were investigating what it meant to be a spiritual household together, to be those who walk in the same spirit. And I think it's clear to those of you who have been feeding from her spirit that we are one in the Lord. Now, the second most public speaker in the Papazov household is Brian. So it's his turn.
My mom just said to say, like, kind of how the church impacted me instead of what my dad said. So, yeah. So, I guess I started off coming here, and it was really fun. And I just kind of grew more in my walk with the Lord and kind of my wisdom. And I know there were some pretty cool people that I've kind of got to grow close to, especially since my best friends are here, and it's going to be hard leaving them, but I thank God for cars and cell phones that we can stay in touch. And so I'm just, it's kind of hard, you know, being a pastor's kid and a church planter's kid, because there's a lot of, you know, pressure as far as doing the right thing. And so, you know, I would like maybe you guys to pray for me while I'm out there, because I'm going to public school, you know, and but my favorite thing would be, you know, to go to public school. And like my dad said, and I'm sure all of us believe, you know, to just show Christ through what we do. So thank you guys for everything, and I look forward to coming and visiting in a couple of months and seeing the new youth group and, you know, Pastor Laney again and all of you guys. So thanks.
Bless you, Mike. Thank you, Brian. Let me give you a word of counsel. Since you're starting your own thing, you get to establish your own thing. Okay? And when I became pastor of this congregation decades ago, I stood my wife and children up. I said, I'd like to introduce you to my wife and children. This is my wife, and these are my children. She's not the model for your wife, and they're not the model for your children. Never, ever will I tolerate you ever speaking against them, putting your tongue out against them, or laying a hand on them, because we will go to war over that. And it pretty much freed my family from a lot of that stuff that Brian has just referred to. I sent my two oldest boys at the time to a retreat for PKs, preacher's kids. They came home and said, Dad, please don't ever make us go to that again. We are not like those people. Brian needs to be free to be who he is, apart from any stigma of his parents being in the ministry, okay? And if he embarrasses you, know that every other parent has been embarrassed somewhere along the way. And it's okay. This fishbowl thing ought to have shades on it. So that I'll send you to consider that along the way. We have, we're making some electronic arrangements on our website. We're going to a new vendor for our electronic, what do you call it? E-giving, all right? Our website will include a link where those of you who wish to stand with the Papazovs and planting this church will be able to give online, and we'll figure out how to channel it to them. I know there's some way to do that out there. But be advised that probably next week, are we standing this thing up next week? So next Sunday morning, I've got an awful lot of things to share with you as we go into the fall, including the core of fall leaders that following into the season that's about to come back to normal. Is it like mid-September? Do we go back to normal? You know, all the chaos is over. People are home. School has started. We have dinner time again. We start complaining that the days are getting shorter, and then we complain about weather getting colder, and then we complain about go to church, and then we complain about, you know, God doesn't take a lot of murmuring and complaining. Have you noticed that? Well, I want to let you know that their departure is going to be a personal loss to me, not merely in the workload that falls back on me, but the sheer strength and support their presence on the earth has brought to me and my household personally. So as we get ready to say nice things over lunch, before we do all that, guess who has the pulpit today? So please rise and welcome and farewell of Her Excellency, the Most Honorable Reverend Dr. Svetlana Papazov.
How about now?
Ooh. Now we are. I cannot believe that this is the Sunday that I'm saying farewell to you. For I have grown to love you as my own family. And saying goodbyes is never easy. And I had no clue when I was coming here that 4 years down the road I would be saying goodbye to you. But I hope by the end of this service today, you're going to hear my heart, and somehow, on some level, you'll be partnering, joining with us to continue in the work of God together. So I'm viewing this as really my life story shared with you today, and you continuing the partnership journey we've always had for the last 4 years. So with that said, I'm going to share with you really my story. I had many of you that had come to me since the last month and a half, couple of months, as we shared with you that God has laid a desire to start a work in Richmond, and you had come and said, we want to hear your story. We want to hear your story. Just tell us the story. Tell us the story. We hear sermons day in and day out. Tell us the story. So the preacher in me had to reconcile and balance what it looks like to tell a personal story on a Sunday morning when you're supposed to preach the Word of God. So I thought, really, it is fitting to share a biblical story within my own experience. So I'm going to be blending Matthew 14, 22. 3-33. If you have Bibles, you can get your hard copy, iCopy, whatever. Get it ready. Because I will be sharing scripture and I will be sharing my personal story through that scripture. For those of you that are here for the first time, you don't know me, but I can tell you this is a wonderful, wonderful family of God that would love to walk life with you. And I want to say welcome. Thank you for coming this morning here. You're going to hear my story, and I hope that this would be an inspirational story to you as well, and you will come back again next Sunday so you can explore what your journey would look like with the leaders that God has placed in this household. So if we're ready, we can all read Matthew 14, 23-33. And I'm reading from the NIV. After he had dismissed, it's about Jesus. It's talking about he, Jesus. After Jesus had dismissed them, by the way, it's right after he fed the 5,000 with a handful of bread and fish, if you remember that story. After Jesus had dismissed his disciples, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. He means the boat the disciples went on. And we're going to cross the lake with that. So, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cry out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sing, cry out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Whew. What a potent story. One night, about a couple of weeks ago, we were in a hotel room, stayed unexpectedly in Richmond, because we thought we might have found finally a home that we can purchase. And so we wanted to see it that morning. And as I was going through all the jitters in my heart, thinking, are we doing the right thing? Is it the right choice, this house? Is it in the right place? Is it in the right location? God, we have to find a place since our own house went under contract and we have to get out of this house. Is that the right thing to do? The Lord brought this scripture to mind. And what came out of this scripture is a hook that brought my heart in sync with the Lord's purposes as he began to unfold them for Richmond. I realized that to walk on water with Jesus, I really had to get out of the boat first. So that night, much was said between the Holy Spirit and my heart. And the Lord kept encouraging my heart that if I only get down and out of the boat, then I can walk with him on water. I'm not going to tell you all the details of that night because they were horrific for me. I physically had a difficult time that I had to fight physically to contain all of the fears that I was experiencing, because that was it, okay? We put our house on the market. It sold in 20 minutes. Unheard of. All three real estate agencies that we have called to give us advice on the house said, no need to really place this house for sale, because in your subdivision, nothing have moved of the resales of existing homes. Nothing have moved in the last 6 months. Only new construction is being sold. So the best thing for you is to really put it for lease, and then, you know, hopefully you're going to get the right, you know, renter at some point to come in. But as we have prayed, we really sensed that we needed to list the house for sale. And we said, oh, well, we're not going to lose anything. Let's do for sale and lease. And as I'm calling the real estate agent to tell her that that's what we have decided to do, and I'm negotiating the commission on the other side, another agent overhears the conversations and says, are you listing a house on Broad Creek? Because I have customers in my parking lot right now that want to go in that subdivision, want to see that house. So while I was signing my documents with the real estate agent, the buyers were in the driveway waiting for me to sign the documents. They came in, saw the house in 20 minutes, and placed an offer at full asking price. Amazing, amazing, encouraging story of the Lord. Okay, so that excitement lasted for about a few seconds. And then the next realization was, okay, what I have talked with Pastor Lane for quite a while now is really real, okay? We are going to be going to Richmond. We have to leave our comfort zone, get out and down from the boat. But then if we don't find anything in Richmond, you know, to go live, maybe we can hang around here for a while. But, by the way, closing date is on the 25th. It's actually tomorrow on Monday. In less than a month, we had to find our own house to go move to Richmond. And I was describing my jitters one night in Richmond trying to find the right place. I'm saying all of those things because I'm really setting you up to tell you the whole journey story. Because when I, in hindsight, it is so exciting. It is so exciting. When you're experiencing the buffeting winds that are against your ship, it is the most terrifying ever thing. I want you to walk with me into the boat where Peter and the other 11 disciples were. They had just witnessed the miracle of God. Jesus fed 5,000 in men and in women and kids. So let's say he fed about 10,000. And it says that his disciples, each of the disciples had a basket of leftovers that they actually picked and got together in their hands. So not only did they witness the miracle, but they had leftovers from the miracle. So they understood the provision of God is more than enough. Okay? And so he says, you go along with the boat on the other side. I'll catch up with you. He didn't give them any details of how he's going to catch up with them. And they're in the middle of the lake. And as they're in the middle of the lake, about the fourth watch, that's like between 3 o'clock in the middle of the night to about 6. This is when actually your body goes out of joint because it goes into deep sleep if you're asleep. I don't think that they were able to fall. Penny, would you please put that picture up there? I don't think that any of those 12 were able to fall asleep because look at what it looked like. This is a fishing boat about first century on the Lake of Galilee. That's what they kind of looked like. And when the winds come real strong in the middle of the lake, it is a lake, but it's kind of a big lake, like a small sea, okay? And the winds are real strong. And when they come against the boat, I don't know about you, but there is no sleep happening in the middle of the night when you're under these conditions. And then you see in the distance somebody walking on water. Somebody that defies the natural and goes into a supernatural, extra natural event. And that person not only approaches them, but as they can see through all the fog and the sprays of the waves, as they were able to focus on that person, they actually saw the person walk on water in the middle of the lake in the deep. Whew! I'm talking about a night where the winds are almost drowning the boat and there is something like a ghost coming to them on the water. Sometimes, the activity of God so shakes our lives that it does look that all the storms have been unleashed against us and they have shaken our comfortable zone that we're in. And even Jesus himself appears as a ghost to us. As somebody that comes from the dark side of places, whatever his activity, we think it's the enemy against us. that the enemy is coming and shaking the boat and somehow approaching us in the most ridiculous way. Because who can imagine a human being walking on water? Yet Jesus, fully man, walked on water. And as his disciples saw that, they called, terrified, "Is it you, Jesus? Is this shaking? And is this supernatural event of a human being walking on water caused by a godly activity?" And as they were affirmed by Jesus that this is me, it is I. Now, I don't know how they heard him, that it is he, because you can imagine the waves up there, and the sprays of the waves, and the noise of the winds that were buffeting the boat. But somehow, as they cried out, "Is it a ghost? Who is that?" And Jesus says, "It is me." One of them had the crazy idea to say, "If this is the supernatural activity of God, I better join it." So now, Jesus, if this is who you say you are, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, "By all means, Peter, jump. Come on. Come and walk on water." Now, my story begins a little bit over 10 years ago, when the Lord had begun to shake my heart and began to show me something in the marketplace that were so needed. And the conditions were beginning to ripen, but somebody needed to awake to the reality of the church that has not taken possession of the places where Jesus was walking on water. So I began to notice that the marketplace somehow lacks the church being in the midst of it. So I began to cry out to God, kept saying for quite a while, "What are you calling me to do, God? God, what are you calling me to do? I know you're calling me to do something, but what is that thing that you're calling me to do?" And I've done much ministry, and I was a PK, I was raised as a pastor's kid, and all of that. And Brian, when have I put any expectations on you? He's a good kid. But we always tell him, "Hey, be yourself, be yourself, be yourself." It's a good thing to be yourself, okay? So I was myself as a PK as well, but I totally get what Brian's talking about. Because everybody's looking at you, but the other thing is that everybody's looking at you and they expecting that you would act as everybody else that's a PK, okay? And I was nothing like everybody else. I was everything the opposite of everybody else. I was a female that wanted to go into ministry, but as I got into ministry, then I went into the marketplace. What does that look like? A female pastor that actually pastors in the marketplace, pastors business people, encourages and empowers business people to go out there and transform culture. How is that possible? So as I cried out to the Lord, and as I began to see that there is a new wind going on the surface of the lake of the marketplace, the Lord gave me a literal vision of a unique expression of church. And I'm talking about, this was a little bit over 10 years ago, an expression of a church that we are now starting in Richmond. That church folds three components. It integrates an entrepreneurial leadership center that helps people develop dreams. And out of the dreams that they write on a napkin, and they say, "I'm an entrepreneur and I really want to see this small business flourish and come about," we want to help them. And we want to help them start their small businesses. We want them to begin to build a strong city, to touch the economy of the area, to lift the economy of a particular area. But this dream that God gave me about 10 years ago also has an educational component. And so the center that we're going to be building and all of that help that we're going to be offering to people and walking with their dreams, stewarding them to see a final product of a small business on the other side come about, we actually going to blend that with an educational component. It is very interesting that God has unfolded much favor in my path, and now we have two colleges, actually university, seminary, and a college that are interested in accrediting the center that we're going to be starting for us to be able to offer an AA in business. So we can actually train both ministers and Christians that just want to go in the marketplace and affect the marketplace. This is a phenomenal favor that God has just began to unfold our way as we are now walking in that direction. So the dream that God gave me had a component that we affect the commerce of a city and had an educational component and had the faith community. And I understood that the Lord is calling us to build a 24/7 church that is very visible and put in the middle of the city. It's going to be a hub of the community. And then also, the Lord showed me that that church is not just for one location. But He is showing me a unique model that's going to be replicated in many places. So as we understood that God is calling us not only in this country, but He showed me that it's going to be a global model. And this particular model is going to be in this country and abroad. And He showed me that in so many countries where economies are not as developed, this model is really going to flourish communities. And in communities in this country where the economy flourishes, we're going to infuse it with Christian morals and ethics of work. And so it is a global impact model of church that engages the community 24/7, not just because you individually are working somewhere in some cubicle or with some people, but because we're going to be a very public face of the church Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday we still get together for a worship service on the same location. So, as I saw that vision 10 years ago, and I argued with the Lord for some time, explaining why I am not the right person He's calling to do that. And I did point to Him several things that He had to take into consideration specifically, like my femaleness and my Bulgarian background and my accent with which I will be preaching the gospel, you know, all of that. Like it made a difference. By the way, it makes a difference. Now I'm getting it. It is actually to my advantage. Seriously. I have walked in so much favor because of the couple, three objections I just mentioned, but I had a whole bunch of objections. Just like Peter. I'm sure that as all of them recognize that this is Jesus doing this supernatural activity, walking on water. And as He desired in His heart to join Jesus in that supernatural activity, Jesus just tell me, come. And Jesus said, by all means, come. I guarantee you, it is not written here. It's very easy. Let me tell you what it says. It says, then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came toward Jesus. See, all in one sentence. It's like very easy. He said, Jesus, is that you? Yes, it's me. Can I come? By all means, come. And He just got down out and got to Jesus. I guarantee you, there is a whole bunch that is not written right there. As Peter said, Jesus, I recognize your supernatural activity, and it's an activity that is new. I've never seen that. I have seen how you multiply fish and bread. I get that. I have seen how even dead people rise. I got that. But I have never seen how a human being walks on water, defies all gravity. I haven't seen that, but I want to do that. I recognize it's you, and I want to do that. And as he said that, the winds didn't die down. The boat didn't get still just because he wanted to join Jesus. Because he wanted to join Jesus, I bet you the winds got even worse. And as they were buffeting the boat, and the other 11 were listening on the conversation, I don't know the conversations that took place in the boat, but they could have been something like, Peter, are you crazy? I mean, seriously, man? You see this, the wind, you know, just, we can barely hold on inside the boat, and you're talking about getting outside the boat on those waves and walking. So, however, Peter was able to convince them that that's what he wanted to do against his own fears. I'll tell you something that I'm absolutely sure that happened, is that the other 11 partnered with Peter to get him out and down from the boat so his feet were able to touch the water. I can tell you, Peter himself was not able to touch the water without the other 11. Whatever convincing it took for them to say, as crazy as your vision is, as crazy as your desire is to join Jesus in his supernatural activity walking on water, we are aligning with you. And what we're going to do on this side, although we're not going to walk on water, we will hoist you down and we will help you get out of the boat and down to touch the water. Touching the water takes courage and takes partnership. You cannot touch the water without partnering with others. I can tell you that as we said yes to the Lord over 10 years ago with this vision that he gave us, we have seen much favor as we said we are going to follow you, Jesus. I know this is your activity. Our family recognizes it. And we want to get out of the boat and down so we can touch the water. But we cannot do it alone. So God unfolded since 2005 a plethora of opportunities and friendships that brought us to this day today, that I can preach to you my farewell sermon as a support pastor before we can start the church that got his birth in my heart 10 years ago. It takes people to come along with you for the whole journey and for the whole duration of the journey. And I thank my friend Laney, because he's here for the whole duration of the journey. God used him as a bridge builder in 2010, before Laney came to visit us. God had showed me that we would come to the East Coast to build this vision I'm just talking about. And I said, how are we going to ever get to the East Coast from Dallas? You know, it's such a long journey. How do you get there? And I'll tell you what, you don't get places without bridge builders and without the right relationships that God brings together. And when God brings special relationships to your life, you better steward them, because they are all for His purposes and for His glory. They're to enrich you and for you to enrich others and for you jointly to put God on display. Because you, by yourself, will never be able to walk on water. But when 11 come behind you and help you get down. Can I get this picture again up here, Penny? Help you get down from that boat in the middle of the winds, in a wavy sea. Somebody had to steady Peter out of the boat to touch the water so he can walk on water. The Lord had to unfold many opportunities. So I had to go, got my second master's in theology. And there were relationships that came out of that. And they invited me to actually go and teach at Southwestern Assembly of God University. But do you know what they invited me to go teach after my theology degree was done? I already had a master's in landscape architecture. What they invited me to teach was to become a business professor. And I said, now you must be kidding me. I just finished my theology. I am so pumped up and I so want to teach Bible. What I didn't realize is that God was preparing me for the dream He has laid on my heart. So for 3 years, semester after semester, I trained marketplace students in a Christian environment. They all came with wild, crazy dreams. For they have seen Jesus walk on some lake, you know, in some setting of their lives. And they had dreams how they can actually change economies and put God on display in their own environments. And I was able and privileged to train them as marketplace ministers. And as that season was coming to an end, I started my doctoral studies and we became friends with Laney, and he extended an invitation that we would join his staff here. And I came with my family and I became part of you. And you, as a family that loves us and supports us, have given me the opportunity to develop further in my pastoring abilities. Because I got the economic background and I got my entrepreneurship. We led 4 businesses before we came into full-time ministry in 2007. But I needed somebody to trust me with their pulpit and with their hearts so I can begin with you a journey of enrichment together. And that's what we've done for the last 4 years. And you have been gracious to me. You've been really very gracious to me. I'm sure that somehow my speaking abilities probably have developed and changed since the very first time I took this pulpit. But you have been kind and gracious and supported me every step of the way. And my heart is staying here with you. I'm going to say it again. For somebody to walk on water, it takes courage and it takes partnership. You are my 11 disciples that are actually sending me down out of the boat. Today is my last comfort zone Sunday. From next Sunday on, I'm actually coming here on Saturday to do a wedding here at this church. That would be my very last time being here in this pulpit. Next Sunday, it would be out walking on water, reaching people, touching lives, and gathering a new church to start in Richmond. And if it is not for you, there is no way. Even here, it's too far. If I'm trying to get down without your help, if I just want to get down from this little bitty, you know, height of a podium, I probably would break a leg. If I don't have your help to get down. Can you imagine us going totally by ourselves, the three of us, to Richmond, without the 11 disciples helping us getting down off that boat? But again, as God has begun to unfold opportunities and friendships, and as we continue to pray, God, where do you want us to put this prototype of a unique expression of church? For we knew that he's calling us to do this thing that I told you as a model. It's going to go global, but somewhere the prototype had to be built. So we began to research and pray. So for those of you that know me, will know that we don't just do, what is the wind blowing and, you know, oh, Richmond, yeah. No, Richmond really didn't come into the play at all until the Lord began to focus us on this city. My friend Jennifer here, she knows me well, and she was just saying last night, just relax, everybody, everything's going to be fine, you know, just let the rains. I know you want to everything to be thought out and placed and scheduled. And that's me. Everything has to be very well thought out. Everything has to be placed and scheduled. And I need to know where we're going. I'm a very strong D, if you know the disc profile. So letting off control is not easy. It doesn't come natural to me, okay? So to let control off of the city that we needed to go. We tried real hard 4 times to convince God that we needed to stay here and do this thing here. Real hard. And every time we did that, the Lord would just lift the peace off of our hearts and would say, that's not where you need to do the prototype. Now, I knew in my heart that wherever we're going to do this R&D, because this prototype is really would have a lot of experiments that we're going to do, because we're going to be integrating a center for entrepreneurship. We will be reaching the community, going to the unchurched, and I'm sure we're going to get lots of church entrepreneurs as well, lots of Christian entrepreneurs, but our heart is to reach the community. So we're going to go in there, and we would offer our services to anybody that has a dream that's an entrepreneur, and we will walk with them with their dreams, steward their dreams to bring them about as a small business on the other side. My husband also has an MBA, and with both of our backgrounds, and we have found people also that are very excited, want to work with us and walk in that direction with us. We feel we have the skill sets for what God has called us to do. But as we are going and reaching the unchurched, and bringing these people in, we really were looking at who's going to be helping us get down on the ground. And as we begin to pray, God, where is this R&D, this prototype needs to be done in a safe environment. And what we consider a safe environment, I've always known that the Lord has put that on my heart, is a place where it's business conducive. It's a state, you know, the city where small business flourishes. And so as we have looked several times into this immediate area, we did not feel that this area is one that's conducive to do this particular research and development that we need to do for that unique expression of church. So we continue to pray, and the Lord has highlighted Virginia for us, and we continue to pray because Virginia is quite large and we needed to narrow down the place. I have a soft spot for Fairfax. I really believe the Lord is going to send us one day there as well with a finished product, but not the R&D, not the prototype. So As we continued to pray, the Lord began to bring the relationships needed. And so we met one of the presbyters that actually is part of a cohort of the doctoral studies. And as we did a boot camp preparation for the church planting, he met us there at his church. It was actually at his church in Richmond. I've never even considered that Stan might play any role in that. He came to Michael and I and said, "Are you guys planting a church?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what we, you know, we're considering, you know, we're just going through the boot camp now. Where are you planting?" And I said, "We really don't know, but, you know, several people that have heard the dream had pointed to Richmond. Said, come here, I'll help you." Great. Okay, what does that mean? I'm thinking. So we went home after he said, "Come here, I'll help you." We had a relational connection now. We're not like in the middle of nowhere. It's Virginia, it's Richmond. We went back home and we researched. And as we researched the place, Richmond came as one of the top 10 up-and-coming entrepreneurial cities in the world. When I looked at that, I'm thinking, really? I don't know what's, you know, what data they've used for that. But over and over, as we did research, and even if it's not 10th up in the world, because they headed among Singapore, and I've been there, and I know that city, they really have much small business flourishing there, and also the support of local small business. And this is what we really would be needing when we are building this prototype. We need to be supported by the city, you know, and somebody that wants to invest and make room for you. And up and coming was good, because I'm not a polished product yet. We need to develop this thing before it becomes a polished product. So we need to do R&D experiments and some mistakes and in a gracious environment that allows people to dabble in their small business and see what's going to come out of it. So as we continue in that vein to pray, there have been three presbyters in that general area. They are all opened favorably to us and began to really support and help us. And other churches that came alongside. And as I talked to Pastor Laney here, he said, "Wow, Richmond, yeah, it sounds like a good place. Let's continue to pray about that." And he pledged the support of this church coming behind us as part of those disciples that's going to be letting us, you know, step off the boat. Actually, there was a church then came through a relational connection that said, "Come here, we'll be your hub church, we'll receive you." And there was another one from Pennsylvania that got very excited, and they actually have an entire church planting organization, and they are now behind us as well. They have Reach Northeast organization. They have sent many, many very successful church plants around this corridor of, you know, going from the very northern part to Virginia. So they got very excited. So we have those three churches now that are coming alongside us as the disciples that lowered Peter to get down. So in order to walk on water, it takes somebody crazy enough to think that as they identify a supernatural activity of God somewhere around them in their own world, because they have to be in the middle of the lake, in the middle of the night, to be able to see Jesus walking on water, okay? He appeared to these 12. The rest of the crowds that were fed before that, the 5,000, didn't see him do this particular supernatural activity, but Jesus showed himself to the 12 walking on water. So wherever you are in life, Jesus is walking around you through a supernatural activity that defies human logic, defies natural laws. And I'll tell you what I believe. We are now stepping into a very unique time in the world. God's activity is truly stirring the waters of the lake that you work at, the lake that you live in, the lake of your family relationships, there is something in the spiritual atmosphere that is a new season for you. And God has been stirring your heart for a while, because God has a unique purpose for all of us. Every one of us individually is called to do what the other 11 were not able to do, but Peter was. You are to walk on water. I don't know where your lake is. Ours at this point is in Richmond. We're going to be starting this very unique expression of church. I believe God has pointed the right place where we can develop the prototype. So from there, our heart is to be able to send church planters around this country and around the globe with that very unique expression that is 24/7 church in the middle of communities, becoming the hub of the community. That is our lake. God has pointed to the marketplace and had called us to establish a church in the middle of the marketplace. Now, I know God has stirred your hearts with other things. I actually know several dreams here in this room that you've shared with me. God has stirred your hearts, and they are as unique as the dream I just shared with you. And you're dreaming that dream because you really have seen Jesus walk on water around you on your lake. And although the winds are really strong, they're not there to discourage you. But sometimes they're there to capture your attention. Because in the middle of the storm, Jesus is present. And in the middle of the storm, supernatural activities are most noticeable. Maybe it wasn't going to be a big deal if Jesus walked on water on a crystal lake that's almost as flat as a mirror. It still was going to be a big deal. But we were not going to talk as much about the winds then. But when the winds are buffeting around you, it's time for you to begin to look at the supernatural activity and see where Jesus is walking. And as you see him walking, take courage and call out after him and say, "Can I join you, Jesus, in your supernatural activity? Let me be a part of who you are and the way you're going to move in my environment. For I want to walk on water with Jesus." In just a minute, I'm going to open these altars for those of you that God has stirred deeply in your heart, dreams and visions. And you know that you know that you know God is moving on you to join him in his activity in your environment. Today is the day to call on Jesus and say, "I want to join you in your activity. I want to partner with you so I can walk on water." As mind-defying, as supernatural as it sounds, I know if Jesus, you can do it, I can do it with you. Can we all stand up? I also would like for those of you that feel stirred to support in your heart what God has called us to accomplish and to start in Richmond. I'd like for those of you that feel that you would partner with us either in prayer, financial support, or however else the Lord may lead you to just come alongside us. I would love for you at the end of this altar call to come to us and just express that and really pray over us. For I cannot walk on water without you coming alongside us and helping us, lower us down so our feet can touch the water. So I'll be down there praying like everybody else. For I need you to partner with me to see the vision that God has shown me come about. For it takes courage and partnership to walk on water. Now I'll say this. Those of you that have dreams of your own, I'd love to pray first with you. So come now and I'll pray over you. And then I will come down here. And those that would love to pray and partner with us may come around us. But come, those that have dreams, that are looking at your legs, that are being stirred by God with supernatural activity and beckoning signs, and you want to see God come alongside you and people come alongside you to partner in accomplishing the purposes and dreams of God in your life, come here. There is an anointing, there is an open door that God is doing right now, and you can walk in that reality today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, I'm just praying for all of those hearts that are responding towards you right now. I'm praying for your mighty anointing on them. I'm praying for your empowering Holy Spirit to go before them. I'm praying that you're going to draw on those dreams that you've placed in their hearts. And I'm praying that you will begin to equip them one by one, husband and wife, single individual. It doesn't matter for you. There is not a single or married. There is not a Jew or a Gentile. There is not a female or male. You're calling equally every individual with a purpose, with your unique accomplished purpose for your kingdom, for your glory. It is you who unfolds those purposes. It is you who makes sure that they are accomplished in our lifetimes. I'm praying right now that this will be a breakthrough time for this beautiful congregation, for this wonderful household of God, that those that feel stirred in their hearts, stirred in their hearts to walk with you, to walk in the dreams you've placed in their hearts. I'm asking you right now, do a mighty work in them. Let this day be a marking day. Let it be a benchmark. Let them not forget that today, on the 24th of August of 2014, they have committed themselves to see the purposes of God come about, that they are going to start walking on water with Jesus in partnership with others. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I lift all of those wonderful, precious friends we have here in this house. And I thank you. I thank you for you doing a mighty work in them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those friends with beautiful, big dreams that you are unfolding in their lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. May they begin to see the fruit of their commitment today, even as in the month of September. Father, I'm praying that as they're committing by the end of this month, that you would begin to move mightily with the dreams you've already seeded in their hearts, that by next month they will begin to see things come about in reality so they can see the steps they need to take. For me, it took me 10 years to come to the lawn. launching pad of lowering me out of the boat. I don't know what it's going to take for every individual. They might have been walking this journey for a while already, but Father, I'm praying that yet as of September, for them to begin to see supernatural breakthroughs, open doors, favors and partnerships that need to come in place for your dream to start getting unfolded. For they need to be encouraged in their heart that you are saying, come, 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 and start walking with me on water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all of those that have come and committed to walk on water with Jesus and to see their dreams come about. Now I'm just going to turn off my mic and I'll come down here. And I'll appreciate those that would partner with us to just express that in prayer for us.
Of you who are desirous of standing with them, we invite you to come and be with them. My wife will represent my household because we'll certainly be involved. In all probability, this is not the last time she'll be in this pulpit. I have agreed to be the relational overseer of her life as they begin this work in Richmond. And so I'm confident she will return to give us reports, and that I will be down there from time to time to stand with them in moments that are necessary. If you had ears to hear today, you could hear how the finger path of God has used every event in her life to prepare her for this participation. Now I ask you to consider something else. This woman and her family are precious to me personally. We have a love-trust relationship that has given us open communication all throughout our relationship. Most of you know my story, how the Lord raised me in persecution and brokenness and has sent me to the nations that have lived in brokenness and persecution. So here I am as a representative of the Lord meeting entrepreneurs in closed situations that have no other option than being pastors. But they're actually business persons. But leading a church is the only expression of that entrepreneurial spirit that they can have at this present time based on the circumstances of the government rule over their lives. These are prior communist and present communist nations to which I'm sent. My close associate and dear friend is a former communist-controlled person who is creating a church business model that I will, with her partnership, take into those nations. Does this at all sound like a plan to you? And none of us saw it coming. But you have to appreciate how carefully the Lord Christ has attended to the details of your life. Everything that's happened to you, good, bad, and ugly, has been to prepare you for what the Lord has destined you to become and to participate in. There is no wasted persecution, no wasted wound, no wasted pain, no unnecessary success. Jesus knows exactly how to deploy you if you'll stand up and walk with Him. And we too are testimonies of that story. As many of you have already experienced, don't get lost in the rough. Don't get lost in the weeds of life. Jesus is at work 24/7 in your life for His purposes through you to His glory, and you get to walk in the intangible rewards of that in personal satisfaction, no matter how weary you get in it. He will refresh you again and again because each of us carry Him with us everywhere we go if you belong to Christ. And if you don't belong to Christ, for heaven's sakes, get in the game. Come get in the boat. We'll teach you how to float, and then you can learn to walk on water, okay? But you got to get in the game. Now, one final thing before I dismiss you to the picnic outside. Several of us have been praying this week for Thomas's brother, who was in the hospital with renal failure. He's now going through dialysis, but he's with us here this morning. Raise your hand, Tom, so they can see Kurt. I want Jay and Jesse and whomever else feels so disposed, I want you to go over there, lay hands on him, and pray for a creative miracle. We need a couple of kidneys, okay? All right, now you guys take the time today, will you? Just walk up and say to this family what they have meant to you. Those of you who are going to stand with them in prayer or finances, or you're going to move down to Richmond to join us, join them there, whatever it is you're going to do, let them know that today. And be sure to follow up on it. Do this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, okay? Don't let your no be maybe and your yes, I'm not sure. Stand behind what you say. Father, we thank you so much for the way you are unfolding the wisdom of God over the life of each one of us. You've called us together from the four corners of the earth to this particular community. And from here, Lord, we go to the nations carrying the testimony of your faithfulness. Lord, I bless this house. I bless the households in it. I bless the clan it's becoming and the tribe that it will be one day. Because you, Lord, are restoring the order of your kingdom and allowing us the great privilege of participating with you in our brief lifespan. I ask that today, Lord, your heart of appreciation would be open. The words of kindness will flow. The food will be wonderful. The weather's already delightful and the people are great. So we invite you, Holy Spirit, to attend our day throughout these next several hours of us simply enjoying the beauty of our salvation in the presence of you and one another. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray, call upon God, get saved, get healed, go eat, whatever you're going to do.